Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this beautiful spring day. It's good to have Roger and Jan Seehafer with us, and we look forward to your message later, Roger. I hope you enjoyed the warmer weather this past week and were able to be outside. It looks like that spring is taking a little bit of a break right now. But hopefully the snow won't be too deep tomorrow and spring will return. This being the first Sunday after Easter puts us in Eastertide. It's the period of 50 days spanning from Easter Sunday to Pentecost. Now millions of Orthodox Christians from around the world, especially in Europe, Africa and the Middle East are celebrating Easter today. They use the old ancient Julian calendar to calculate their Easter. But our date for Easter is always the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox. And if that full moon happens to be on a Sunday, then Easter is the next Sunday. So now you know when Easter should be every year. So please join me in the call to worship, which will be on the screen. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come to his presence with singing. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, and sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Okay, please bow with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to your house of worship with thanksgiving and praise, knowing you are an awesome God who loves and cares for us. Thank you for letting us be here today. May each one here feel your presence and be uplifted. We pray for those of our church family that cannot be here and ask your blessing on them. We thank you for the beautiful spring flowers, the greening of the grass and trees. You amaze us with your earth's beauty. And Lord, we just ask you to keep the farmers safe as they are starting their eternal love affair with Mother Earth. Having just celebrated Easter and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are grateful for your gifts of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. May we remember that every day can be Easter with us, serving a risen Savior. May we live our lives so as to extend that gift to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above his, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Always so good to come back to visit with you guys and see special faces and friends. We're a culture that likes to keep moving forward, but the Christian calendar doesn't lend itself very well to that because we run from just before December, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Palm Sunday, the Crucifixion, Resurrection, and now we're getting ready for, what is the season? Pardon? Yeah. So today's Bible readings seem to be pushing us back as opposed to moving forward, as is our tendency. But so much happens during Holy Week, for example, from Palm Sunday to when Jesus rises from the dead, that it's real difficult to appreciate everything that occurs. And there's one incident that I wanted us to visit this Sunday morning as reflected in the scripture reading. "What is your score?" is the title. There's an interesting book by Rachel Botsman. It's called "Who Can You Trust?" written in 2017. And it has to do with how technology shapes our lives. And in one chapter, she talks about an incredibly interesting, although scary, influence of technology on lives of the Chinese citizens. What they've developed is a process called the Chinese Citizen Scores. And it is a data gathering by the Chinese government using data gathering giants beyond even Google in order to collect data on all of the Chinese citizens. And these platforms are designed to tap into how do people behave and then rate their behaviors. For example, factors such as your credit history. That's kind of familiar to us as well, but that is reported to the government. Do you pay your taxes, your electricity, your phone bill, for example? A second measure is fulfillment category. Do you honor your contracts? Can your word be trusted? Are you a trustworthy type person? The third are personal characteristics, examples being your mobile phone number, your address, and so on and so forth. But the last two are the real interesting ones. One of them is your behavior and preferences. Under this system, something as innocuous as your shopping habits are monitored and the data is collected on it. For example, if you shop for videos and video games, you do not get the rating as high as somebody who frequently buys diapers, because that person would be considered a parent who, on balance, is more likely to have a sense of responsibility than somebody who spends time on videos. The last characteristic has to do with interpersonal relationships. Who are your online friends? What do they say about you? What do you say about them? What do you say about the Chinese government? Is it positive or is it negative? Of course, if it is positive, your score goes up. If you criticize the Chinese government, your score goes down. And in fact, even the scores that you get from others on, for example, Facebook, is also factored in. If you get a lot of positive scores by friends, the likes, then your rating goes up a little bit. If you get a lot of thumbs down, then your rating tends to go down just a little bit. And it goes on and on. Those are just a few over the top. Based on this, you get a score between 350 and 950. And depending upon your Chinese citizen score, you will be restricted regarding social benefits or not. You will have the ability to get loans or not. You will be eligible for certain jobs or not. You will be restricted from sending your children to certain schools or not. You will be restricted from going to school and for college, for example, or not. You will have higher or lower insurance premiums. You will have slower or faster internet connectivity. You will or won't have to have a deposit for a car rental. You will or will not have VIP check-in at hotels. You may or may not be fast-tracked for visas, and on and on and on. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Big government and ultimate control. Well, before we think that the Chinese citizen scores couldn't happen to us, we may want to think again. Now, let's not get paranoid. That's not the idea here. But did you ever get the feeling that you're being observed in a way or ways that might produce some kind of a record of where you've been, what you've done, that could be accessed later? The capabilities are there for personal data collection on us. If you watched, for example, some of the recent shootings and other crimes, it's really amazing how many different video clips are available after the fact on these very on street corners or other settings, surveillance. If you use your cell phone, your landline phone, your credit card, if you go online and buy anything, if you use a search engine, if you watch videos or check in on social media, you are being recorded. Your landline telephone company, your cellular telephone company, your email provider, your cable TV company. By the way, TVs are not only for viewing, but they have the capability to be the viewer. Now, that's not being exercised now, but it is a device that works both ways. The companies or retailers you do business with collect data. Your search engine provider, your online video you use, the social media sites that you use. In fact, if you're on Facebook, you are part of at least 5 data collection searches at any given time. That number may go up. Online advertisers who place ads on websites you visit. Did you ever wonder when you're just talking and you mention something how ads pop up on your cell phone that are about that particular topic? A wonderful example that I remember about the ability to observe us comes from my grandson, Lance, who's a captain in the Air Force and has just been stationed in Japan. And when I visited him during graduation, he gave me a tour of some of the facilities down at Laughlin Air Force Base. I was just impressed with the technology. I said, Hey, you guys can do everything here. This is so amazing. It's so high tech. And most of the time he would say, well, I can't talk about that. You know, I can't talk about that. He was in special ops. But one of the things that he did share with me had to do with satellites and surveillance. And he said, Grandpa, we have satellites in space whose optics are such that they can read a nickel on the ground. Isn't that something else? So the capability to monitor us and give us a rating or give us a score is there. And we probably do have, if you will, a kind of a citizen score. Our credit card companies, we have credit scores. The government has, you know, IRS, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, keeps track of our driving records. Facebook and other media are there, likes and dislikes. And the power of some of these shouldn't be underestimated. For example, Facebook increasingly, and some of the other social media options, who drive particularly teenage and children's behaviors to the extent that they actually contemplate or actually commit suicide as a result of that influence. Perhaps we're closer to the Chinese citizen scores than we may think. But the message this morning is not to cause us to worry about surveillance and our Chinese citizen score. What comes to my mind is a different kind of a score. Do I have a good enough score to get to heaven? That's the score that I'm really interested in. You remember Gene Autry's Christmas song? You better not cry, or you better not pout. Santa Claus is coming to town. There's a line in there. He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. I don't know about you. I grew up as a kid in the Missouri Lutheran Synod up in Wausau, Wisconsin. And the message to me was that I had to work really, really hard to get to heaven. I was probably doing more bad things than good things. My spiritual score, if you will, was not very good, and I had to strive very, very hard to get my score up so that I could get to heaven. I don't know if any of you got some of that influence as you grew up or not, or still do. Can good works get us to heaven, for example? And there's still evidence in Christian churches that that is the case. In the Catholic Church, for example, enough good works will actually allow you to achieve the high status of sainthood. If we tithe or if we give enough to the church, we are regarded as good citizens. Our record reflected by our monetary contributions. Somehow good works are intended to draw us closer to heaven. I never seem to have enough good works. I still come out on the debit side of things when I try to calculate how am I doing. That seems to be the case from the Old Testament as a message to the scorekeepers, and it starts with the Ten Commandments. 10 isn't a real big number, but 10 is too big for me. I can't make it through a day without violating at least one of them. My score on a daily basis isn't going to get me there. Let's us think, if we were a Jewish believer in the Old Testament, because there were 613 laws. They were called mitzvot, Jewish rules or commandments. They covered moral law, civil law, ceremonial law, you name it. It covered many issues, including instruction for food, punishment, how God should be worshipped. And the Jews agreed to follow all of these rules when they were given to them by Moses as a part of their covenant. Now, here are a few of them. Number 50, not to erect a stone pillar in a place of public worship. 51, do not erect an idol or bow down on a smooth stone for worship. I guess you're supposed to bow down on a sharp stone or something like that. 62, not to engage in astrology. 84, not to have fringes on the corners of your garments. Number 162, not to marry Gentiles. And we come to a couple now that I'm sure that I'll be okay with. 185, not to eat maggots. And number 49, not to burn your children in a sacrificial fire to Moloch. Now, those are extreme ones. I'm kind of cherry-picking here a little bit, but 613 of them. I don't stand a chance. My score is just not going to allow me serious consideration. I have two favorite Bible passages, and one of them comes from the Old Testament when I bogged down in the laws that I'm supposed to follow. And the first of these comes from Micah 6, verse 8. It reads this way. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. I have that in my wallet, by the way. I've carried that little piece of green paper for probably 20 years. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Nevertheless, the Pharisees and other Jewish leaders and followers of the Old Testament placed a really high priority on the role and value of those 613 laws. Then comes Jesus. There's a scene where they attempt to trap Jesus, if you recall it. It comes from Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now remember, the law is 613. And the lawyer wants Jesus to pick one of them. That's a no-win situation. No matter what he picks, there are 612 alternatives that are the better answer. And because he has violated the law, he deserves to be punished for the same. And here's his response. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." With only two laws now, instead of the Ten Commandments, or God forbid 613, I have a better chance of getting a good score, right? Out of two of them. But I can't, and you can't. We don't get a better score, and we won't, by our good works. Listen to what Isaiah says about our good works in order to get to heaven. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. There's another piece of evidence that no score will earn our place in heaven. And that's found in the scripture reading of the thief on the cross this morning. His sentence is to die on the cross. Makes it pretty clear that if there were any kind of a score that did so, he clearly would not have enough points to get him there. Now, Isaiah says, no matter how good you are, it doesn't count. Your good works are as filthy rags. This example is one of an individual who does not bring anything to the table in the way of good works. He was a thief, a criminal, and judged to be unfit to continue living by even human standards. His spiritual score could surely have been no worse. And yet, he did go on living beyond his or anyone's imagination. He earned a way to heaven by his simple words to Christ as he was dying. Listen to it again. One of the criminals who was hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other responded and rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve from our crimes, and this man has done nothing wrong." And here's my second favorite Bible passage. It's actually two of them from the whole Bible. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Remember me. Jesus, remember me. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, if you choose, you can worry about your Chinese citizen score, the high-tech surveillance, your credit score, your driving record, or your insurance ratings. If you choose, you can worry about those things. But you can also choose to forget about your score regarding salvation. There is none. That score was settled over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, it was game over. Jesus said it best, "It is finished." All we have to do is ask for the results. Remember me. And if we ask, if we accept and believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as with the thief on the cross, we will surely know that today you will be with me in paradise. And that's our message for this morning. I thank you.